When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Into the Nick Bob Podcast. Of course, we are powered by Pella Windows and Doors. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. Still loving all the work that they did on my home, the new front door, the bay window. It's all fantastic. Those people are the absolute best. And we're powered by Shoot 360 Lincoln, the world's most advanced basketball training facility. I am an owner along with my brother, and we are about 2.5 months into this thing. We opened in mid-October, and man, things are going great. If you have not been into the see the facility, you need to go check it out. You can schedule a free workout. That's right, free, to see what it's all about. Go to shoot360.com/Lincoln. There's a little icon, request a free workout. Our GM will get a hold of you. We'll schedule a time for you to come in and get your workout on. For basketball players of really all ages and skill levels, really, I mean, 8 years old, probably the range that it usually in terms of the young part of it, but then all the way up to, you know, big time pros and all that stuff, anybody in between, you need to come check it out. I mean, our membership numbers are growing. We are really, really building something special, and our patented and proprietary technology, I mean, you just got to come see it. Like, it is incredible what we're able to do with our passing and skills walls, where we're handling the ball, hitting a target, throwing it off a big, like, touchscreen TV, and then our shooting bays are just amazing with the technology that they have, giving you real-time feedback after every shot. I still, every time I go in there, I can't believe how amazing the facility is. So make sure you check out Shoot 360 Lincoln as well. Hey, speaking of basketball, on deck today, you know, with the holiday week and all that stuff, I've spent some more time with the fam, but I'm ready to get back into it on a more consistent basis. I've had a lot of people like, hey man, what do you think about Creighton? Give me some thoughts on Creighton. Well, let's talk a little Creighton hoops. I'm taping this. It's Sunday, December 31st. It's New Year's Eve. Creighton just lost on the to Marquette on the road yesterday afternoon, 72-67. I'll give some thoughts on that game in a bit. You know, obviously Creighton's hit a little skid here, right? Creighton has now lost three of their last four games. They lost to UNLV on a neutral floor. They beat Bama, but then they lost to Villanova at home and now at Marquette. I mean, there's a chance that Creighton is out of the top 25 next week, depending on what else happens this week in college basketball. So certainly a little turbulence here for a team that not too long ago was inside the top 10. With that Marquette game, my quick takes are this. Number one, I felt like Creighton needed to build a bigger lead in the first 10, 12 minutes of that game when Creighton was getting stops and Marquette was really out of sync offensively. I mean, it felt like the door was open there and Marquette was really vulnerable. I mean, Marquette had 5 points 8 minutes into the game, and Marquette had scored 13 points 13 minutes into the game. I thought Creighton had a chance to really bury Marquette there. Not like in the game per se, but be up 20, 22, 23 points and with 7 minutes to go in the first half, and the whole complexion of the game changes at that point. Instead, Creighton was only up 19 to 10 at that like 7 minute mark, and Marquette makes a three, and all of a sudden it's 19-13, and the feeling both ways is like way different. Like for Creighton, you're like, damn, we have played pretty good defensively, gotten a bunch of stops, and damn, we're only up six, we're only up nine. And then for Marquette, you're like, man, we've played terrible, we haven't made a shot, and we are right there. So I felt like that first 10, 12 minutes of the game, Creighton really had a chance to like put a stranglehold on Marquette and didn't do it. That was my first take. The second take was the junior varsity level turnovers were just killer, man. I mean, Marquette is really active and really disruptive on defense. That's their thing. That's Shaka Smart. They chart deflections. You guys know and see about that when you watch games on TV. They're all about getting in the passing lanes and making life difficult. And so you're going to have some turnovers when you play Marquette, but what you can't have are the silly, unforced turnovers. Those are the ones you can't have. And I thought Creighton had too many of those. And then just obviously too many turnovers in general. Creighton finished with 18 total turnovers. And again, Creighton's lack of athleticism, in particular at that point guard spot, really hurts when teams heat Creighton up. I'll get to more on that in a little bit. A few other things with the game. Sean Jones for Marquette was arguably the biggest difference in the game. He was 4 for 28 from 3 on the season coming into the game. And Creighton's plan was to play off of him, plug the lane on Cam Jones and Tyler Kolek, try to not get too extended on and sink in on rolls on Oso Iguodaro, all those kinds of things. Creighton's plan was to play off of him, make him shoot some threes. Well, he did, and he made 3 threes. One was a huge shot. So to me, that was as him make, if he doesn't make 3 threes, again, he had made 4 all season. If he doesn't make 3 threes, that who knows how that game unfolds. So that was a big factor. And then really, other than Shireman and Trey Alexander, nobody really played all that well. Kalkbrenner was quiet. Ashworth really struggled. And the reality is, you go on the road against a top 5, top 10 team, you're going to need all your guns firing. Creighton's bench at times is back to struggling in spurts again. And then when the game was nip and tuck in the final 5, 6, 7 minutes, Creighton just got pressured out offensively again. They just got pushed out. Every pass was a struggle. Just entering offense, running things crisply. Like, the amount of times someone picked up their dribble and had a hard time finding someone, right? Like, they were just pressed out on their heels. Which, again, this is a problem that I've talked about a lot with this group, where I think that the book is out, where it's like, you, when teams pin their ears back, teams are just like, we're going to pin our ears back and we're going to pressure the shit out of Creighton. And Creighton has a hard time with it at times. But all in all, you know, Creighton, who I didn't think they would win at Marquette. Didn't think they'd win that game. But they had a great chance to actually go win that game. They just couldn't get it done. And now that's back-to-back games where Creighton was right there late in the game and couldn't find a way to pull it out. So all in all, obviously frustrating. I didn't think Marquette played very well at all. Oddly enough, I didn't think they had a whole bunch of juice. It was a weird, I don't know. I didn't think Marquette looked great. And yet they still won. I thought Creighton could have easily gone in there and gotten the win with how that game was unfolding early. Instead, they take a loss, and now they're 0-2 in Big East play for the first time in 9 years, which is pretty wild to say. Now, before I go any further with this pod and zooming out and talking big picture stuff with this team and some players and all that stuff, I remind everyone to breathe. Take a deep breath like it's a long season. Remember a year ago at this time, the sky was falling with Creighton. Creighton had lost 6 in a row. Remember, at one point, Creighton was 9-8 on the season after dropping back-to-back Big East games at UConn and at Xavier. And what happened? Creighton got their groove back. They eventually went to the Elite Eight and were 1 second away from the Final Four. So just remember, it's a long season. It's a long season. Most teams hit a little turbulence. Very rarely does a team just like the ball's tipped, start the season, and boy, they are just smooth sailing, playing great all season long. That very rarely happens, unless you're like what the Nova team with Brunson and Bridges and all those guys. Like, just very rarely happens. So as hard as it is, you try not to ride that roller coaster of emotions if possible. Now, but with that said, and not to sound hypocritical, I think the interesting thing for me is, like, I acknowledge all that stuff that I just said. Hey, it's a long season. Don't ride the roller coaster. It's, you know, teams hit turbulences, skids, all that stuff. The question is, though, with this turbulence, does this Creighton team have it in them to steady the plane and get back to cruising? I always felt like last year's team did, and they eventually got it back. I'd say I'm not as confident in this team's ability to do that than I was in last year's team. So we'll see. I'm not saying it's not going to happen or it can't happen. It absolutely can happen, and I bet on it because I bet on Greg McDermott every day of the week. But I thought last year's teams had it in them more. But we'll see. Okay, so to kind of stop and zoom out, Creighton right now, they're sitting at 9-4. Their losses are to Colorado State and UNLV on neutral floors. They lost to Nova at home and then on the road at Marquette. The notable wins on the season are Iowa and Bama at home and then roadies at Nebraska and at Oklahoma State. The computers still really like Creighton. Creighton's 17th in KenPom. They're 16th in the net. They're 11th in Torbic. When you look at KenPom, Creighton is right now, again, taping this on New Year's Eve, they're one of only eight teams that is in the top 25 of both offensive and defensive efficiency in the country. Those teams are Houston, Purdue, Arizona, BYU, Illinois, UConn, Auburn, and Creighton. So, I mean, take that for what it is. The computers really like Creighton. For me, from like a record standpoint, they're probably a game or two behind what I thought they'd where I thought they'd be at this point. I thought they'd maybe drop one of the two road games at Okie State or at Nebraska. And then I thought maybe Bama would get them in the non-con. So I think in the preview I predicted 10-1 in the non-con, if I'm not mistaken. And I thought Villanova would be probably a toss-up, and I didn't think they'd win at Marquette. So record-wise, fairly close, but maybe not quite as good. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's the losses to Colorado State and UNLV that are the most surprising, right? And as far as what my eyes tell me, this team's probably not been quite as good as I was anticipating, but to make excuses for myself, when you lose your point guard who had the ball in his hands the whole game, led your team in minutes for two straight years in Ryan Nemhard, and you lose your most athletic player who was a two-year starter in Arthur Kaluma, like there was always an element of the unknown with this team. Even though you had three known commodities, there were three really good players, those were two pretty big holes to fill that you were going, okay, I want to see what this looks like though. I'll say this, three of the four losses, like, were not good losses. Like, whether with how they looked or who it was to. Like, I mean, Creighton got dismantled by two Mountain West teams. Now, to be fair, Colorado State is pretty good, but that game wasn't even really competitive. And UNLV was 3-4 heading into that Creighton game and just punked Creighton in the second half. And then to blow a second half 14-point lead at home to Villanova with it being Doug McDermott's jersey retirement night. But most importantly, Villanova didn't have their best player in Justin Moore. I mean, that's not that I left that. I was at that game. I left that game like, oh, man. Up 14 at home, 16 minutes left. Villanova doesn't have Justin Moore. You got to win that game. You have to find a way to win that game. And then, you know, the Marquette loss, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't a bad loss. Like I said, it was frustrating because I thought Creighton had a legit chance to steal that game and kind of melted down the stretch. So, you know, three of the four losses were pretty disheartening to me. And as far as the wins, the Bama game was amazing. I mean, it was just an amazing basketball game, and Creighton looked terrific in that game, in particular in the second half. And then there was about a 10 to 12 minute stretch against Iowa, really to start that second half where Creighton looked incredible. And obviously, Creighton went into Lincoln and completely obliterated their in-state rival, Nebraska, 89-60. And then, you know, something that sometimes we gloss over, like all the low major bye games on Creighton's schedule, Central Michigan and North Dakota State and Florida A&M and all those teams, Creighton didn't let any of those teams hang around at all and just took care of business, which is good to see. So there have been some good moments, too. The Iowa, the 10-12 minute stretch against Iowa, the entire second half against Bama, the dominating win at Nebraska. There have been some good moments. Real quick to kind of circle back on that roller coaster long season thing. I do think Creighton is officially in this world where they are at times, like when everybody slides them under the microscope, everyone tends to only focus on the weaknesses and issues and the bad instead of the good things. They are sometimes a victim of their own expectations and success. So when that's the case, people tend to poke holes rather than focus on the good. And I'm not saying it's not warranted to a certain degree. Creighton's issues are absolutely glaring. And like I said a second ago, their losses, some of them are pretty bad, but losses happen. You know, those losses were a little jarring and the weaknesses were on full display. But this team is still a really talented, dangerous team. Still one of the best, if not the best, three-point shooting teams in the country. This team still has three players that are as good as anybody's top three players in the country. And Greg McDermott is still a great coach who I believe is going to press the right buttons and put this team in the best position to be successful. So everyone, you still got to got to breathe. So again, I don't want to turn on the mic here and just pump sunshine and rainbows. I try to balance it all, right? I'm trying to balance all of this stuff mentally, like a lot of you are. The good, the bad, the moment, the big picture, all of it. Because I've had a lot of people just ask me, hey, Nick, hey, what do you think? How good do you think Creighton is? Hey, Nick, what do you think of Creighton? You think they're really good? And my answer usually is kind of this. I usually go, okay, well, it depends on what lens are you asking the question in. Are we talking, how good are they? Is this through the lens of a top 10 team, a Final Four team, a Sweet 16 team, a Big East championship team, an NCAA tournament team? There are a lot of ways to answer that question. Because, listen, on a simple level, how good are they? I mean, they're really good, obviously. But do I think this is a top 10 team? No, I don't. At least not right now. Do I think this is a Big East championship team? Right now, I don't. I think UConn and Marquette are cut above them right now. Do I think they are a top 20 team in the country? Absolutely. Do I think they could be a Sweet 16 team, second weekend NCAA tournament team? Absolutely. Do I think they're a top 3 or 4 team in the Big East? I think so. Now, what is all that? You know, how do you add all that stuff up? I mean, from a broad standpoint, that's how I'd answer how good I think they are. Not a top 10 team, in my opinion. Top 20 team, though, for sure. Not a Big East title team right now. Top 3 or 4 team, for sure. Not a Final Four squad right now. Second weekend team is absolutely possible. And the reason I arrive at that, the reason I think all of that is, well, I mean, we've kind of been over a lot of this stuff, but, I mean, it bears repeating. Like, Creighton has a major speed and quickness athleticism issue that isn't going away. The reality is this team misses Ryan Nemhard a lot. Nemhard could get into the paint, get all the way to the rim. Nobody really on this roster right now can. Baylor Shireman can kind of methodically plod his way, you know, like dribble, spin, shoulder into a guy, spin. Like, he can methodically plod his way there. I think one of the reasons Trey Alexander's a mid-range guy is because he doesn't get all the way to the rim great. Like, but that's where he's more of a mid-range guy. And that's not Ashworth's game at all. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I heard and I've seen some stats on shots at the rim for Creighton from last year compared to this year, and they are like glaring, jarring, eye-opening. Individually, I think the number I heard when I was talking to somebody, I won't say who I was talking to, but when I was talking to somebody, the number I heard through the first 10 games of the season in terms of shots at the rim was last year Ryan Nemhard had 47 shots at the rim. Ashworth has like 5. I mean, it's eye-opening. So I think this team really misses Nemhard. He got to the rim. He got into the paint. You couldn't really pressure him. When teams tried to heat Creighton up, Nemhard was hard to speed up. He could break down people and get into the paint. All those things right now Creighton's guards struggle with. The other big thing is Ryan Nemhard made Kalkbrenner better. Ryan Nemhard unlocked Kalkbrenner's offense at a higher level. Let me ask you a question. How many pick, roll, lob dunks has Kalkbrenner got this year? That number has plummeted. That was a Creighton staple. And it precedes Kalkbrenner, but whether it was Martin Krumpel or Justin Patton or Christian Bishop, like, that was a big part of Creighton's offense. Pick, roll, flip up to the rim. Mo Watson used to do it. Marcus Zagorowski used to do it. Ryan Nemhard used to do it. And all of a sudden this year, kind of eliminated. And that was Kalkbrenner's thing. A big part of Kalkbrenner's offense, like, he was an incredible pick-roll lob finisher. And to me, that Nembhard's absence has really hurt that. I think overall, Kalkbrenner has been a little less impactful on offense in stretches, and I think a lot of that has to do with Nembhard not being there. So, listen, I've been on this from the start. I was very concerned about this team's athleticism and quickness, and that concern still is very much alive. Especially as Creighton now gets into conference play, where teams' familiarity level with you and your set plays and your pet plays increases, you end up having to rely on your offense after the set play to score. Does that make sense? Like, you can maybe run a quick hitter against Iowa and you get a wide open three or a wide open layup or an easy shot against Bama or something like that. Like, they don't know you as well. They don't know your tendencies. They don't have a good feel for your personnel. They don't have as good of a sense of your pet plays. Well, Dan Hurley does. Shaka Smart does. Sean Miller does. And it's harder to get your pet plays, your set plays, and so oftentimes it's your offense after your initial offense. And oftentimes that comes down to a guy breaking down the defense off the dribble. And like I just laid out, this team lacks that. Last year, Nembhard could do that. Even Kaluma could do that at times. So we'll see how all of that plays out. And obviously, the athleticism impacts the defensive end of the floor as well. The reality is, Ashworth, Trout, and Miller all struggle to guard on the perimeter. They just do. And that will... I mean, there's a reason that Creighton right now is closing a lot of the games. You know, they're having to play Alexander, Kalkbrenner, Shireman, Farabello. Like, those four guys are having to close out a lot of the games. So, this, all those kinds of things with the lack of athleticism, that's going to have to get navigated defensively as well by Greg McDermott and the staff. I think this team right now is able to put up great defensive analytical numbers. Like, their defensive numbers from what they're trying to do, like where shots are coming from and who's taking them, like, they do a great job of it. They're able to do that, though, because of Kalkbrenner and then their collective intelligence. They're a smart group. And that's going to have to be how they defend moving forward. They have to continue to lean on Kalkbrenner, and they're going to have to be really smart. And they, I mean, let's address one of the elephants in the room here, which is I kind of was getting at with Ryan Nembhard, and that's Steven Ashworth. He has to play better, period. And listen, if Ashworth was sitting across from me here in my pod studio, he would be the first to say, I agree. He knows that. I mean, you don't got to be Dana Altman. You don't got to be James Naismith to be able to point this out, right? I mean, Ashworth's got to be better. Creighton needs way more out of him, and right now he's just kind of a guy out there. And they didn't bring him in to be just a guy. They brought him in to be an impact guy, a stud. They need that, and Ashworth came here to do that. And it's hard to kind of. A part of me doesn't even know what to say with him. Like, he's just, some of it's pretty obvious, right? Like, he's just lost a little bit of his confidence, and he's having a hard time finding his groove again. The one thing with Ashworth that I thought would always be there, like, of course, his size, his athleticism, all that stuff, like, yes, like, those were going to be things he was going to have to overcome, but the one thing that was always going to be there was his three-point shot. I felt like for all the shortcomings on his athleticism and size and playmaking, the one thing he could always provide, that saving grace, would be shooting. And the last five games, he has been cold. Ashworth is 5-for-26 from three in his last five games. That can't happen. Like, he can't have another five-game stretch like this. I mean, this is one of the best three-point shooters in the country a year ago. 111 made threes. 43% on those 111 made threes. And he's really hit a cold spell here. And when he's... he's obviously not elite at some of the other things on the floor, defensively, all those kinds of things. He's got to at least be making shots. Right? Like, think back to past Blue Jays. I mean, hell, you could throw me in there if you want to, but like whether we're talking Jimmy Motes. Like, Jimmy won the best passer, defender. So for Jimmy to stay on the floor, Jimmy better make his open shots. Ethan Rogge. Ethan's not a great ball handler. Ethan's not playing above the rim. Ethan's not, you know, breaking guys off the bounce. But so for Ethan to stay on the floor, you better make your shots. I mean, Ashworth's in that, like, those are extreme examples, but that's what Ashworth, like, he's not good enough in some of these other areas for him to then not also make shots. He's gotta get that spot. He's gotta get his shot back. And obviously that point guard spot in Ashworth is kind of the big one for this team. Like, if Ashworth doesn't get it going, Creighton's probably not gonna reach their ceiling on this year. But again, this is where I like Ashworth. He's 24 years old. He's been through it. He's been a role guy that's had to work his way up into being a star. So, like, being a role guy is not necessarily completely foreign to him. Like, but he's going to have to find a way to, like, get it back. And again, he'd be the first to agree with all of this. He's got to find a way to handle the ball better. He's got to find a way to get Kalkbrenner more involved. He's got to continue to fight his tail off on defense. And it's funny, when Creighton landed him, when they landed Ashworth, I was hoping Ashworth would be like, do you guys remember the old Marquette guard, Andrew Rousey? Played at Marquette for 2 years, 2016 to 2018. He was just a little white dude. He was barely 5'10". I think he was listed at 5'10", but he was like barely 5'11", but he was barely 5'10". But he's pretty quick, and that dude had an absolute torch of a jump shot. A torch. And I was hoping Ashworth could kind of be like that. And so far he hasn't. But that spot's a big one, obviously. Like, he's lost some confidence. He's lost a little bit of his rhythm. And you can tell he's pressing a bit. He's just got to get his swagger back. And like I was saying, the reality is he's never going to be an elite playmaker, break a guy down off the dribble, elite defensive player. What he has to be is an Ethan Rogge type shooter for the rest of the season, where if he's open, it is in, which is absolutely possible and something I'd bet on. You don't, 111 made threes. You don't make 111. I mean, 111 threes, 43%. You have an absolute bazooka of a jump shot. So he'll get it back, but he has to get it back. So obviously that point guard spot's a big one right now. When you look at some other guys, Trey Alexander has to shoot it better from three. His numbers are way down, 41% a year ago, now 27% this year. He's got to get his threes to fall. But the big thing is Trey's got to be more of a rock-solid ball handler. He needs to be the guy that when teams pin their ears back and pressure Creighton, he's the guy that consistently gets into the lane and gets to the rim. And then Creighton also needs to get Kalkbrenner more involved and more touches offensively. I mean, the pick-roll lob stuff obviously was a huge part of how he impacted the game offensively. That stuff's just not really happening right now. So they have to they got to find other ways to get him opportunities to score. He's too good of a player. He's too efficient of a scorer to have some games where he's just kind of a non-factor offensively. Now, again, a lot of this is Ryan Nemhard's absence. There's no doubt about that. But I also think some of this is on Kalkbrenner, too. I think his intensity goes up and down maybe a little too much for me. Like, that second half against Bama, You could feel that Dragon Kalkbrenner was in the building. That's what I kind of call him. Maybe I'm not sure I've ever told people. Like, that's what my line to Bishop always when we're doing radio together. Like, Dragon Kalkbrenner. That guy that, like, when he's talking shit to people and barking at people and screaming. Like, when that guy's on the floor, look out. But that guy's not always on the floor. But that second half against Bama, Dragon Kalkbrenner was in the building, and he dominated. That was the same guy that was in the building against NC State in the NCAA tournament, where he had 33 or whatever it was, and dominated. I think his intensity and want to has to be a little more consistent, too. Like, guards got to get him the ball, no doubt about it. But he's got to be Dragon Kalkbrenner too. Right? You can't just go, well, Nembhard's not here, I guess. No. No, you still, this is too good of a player. Still got to get him the ball, get him touches. And that goes for everybody, right? That's on everybody. So there you go. That's kind of where I'm at with everything with Creighton. Little turbulence here. Lost three of their last four games. Try to breathe. Try to remember it's a long season. This team's ceiling is still pretty high, but I do think their floor is maybe a little lower than it was last year, in my opinion. I will say, Baylor Shireman has just been a star all year. Like, I have nothing but glowing things to say about that guy and how he's played all year. He gets an A+ from me. He's been Creighton's best player this year, and I don't even think it's particularly close. So Shireman just he needs to keep on doing. I don't know what else could he have done against Marquette. I mean, he has been awesome, but Ashworth has to be better. That starts with his 3-point shot. Trey Alexander, I think he's got to take it up a notch. He's got to be better with the ball, and he's got to make his threes at a higher clip. Kalkbrenner has to be more of a factor on offense, which is on everybody to make happen, including Kalkbrenner. Then the role guys got to do what they do, man. Miller, Trout, you hit your open threes, fight as much as you can on defense. Frederick King, hold the line when you're in for your, 8 to 10 minutes a game. Farabello has to, make his shots be a little bit more aggressive. So that's where I'm at with this group. That's where I'm at with this group. I don't think this group's too hard to fit. I mean, to me, I think their shortcomings and their issues are pretty easy to see, easy to identify. Some of them you can overcome. Some of them are going to be, stuff you have to manage the whole year. Certain guys got to play better. I'm going to have to maybe tweak a few things. But again, I believe in Greg McDermott. I think he's going to press the right buttons. He's going to give this group the best chance to be successful. So, again, long season, a little bit of turbulence here. You look at the schedule now. You're at Georgetown on January 2nd. Obviously, Georgetown's really struggling this year. Then you get Providence at home. Then you're at DePaul. So, I mean, you got three games. Providence playing well, but you're at home. Then Providence is pretty good. Got to find a way to get back. And then St. John's comes to town before you head to UConn. Creighton's got to get back on a roll here a little bit. So there you go. Again, shout out to Pella Windows and Doors. Make sure you check them out, PellaOmaha.com. The showrooms in Omaha and Lincoln are fantastic. Get your new window game right, your new front door game right. They got a whole bunch of cool stuff. I've worked with them. They're first-class people. And shouts out to Shoot360 Lincoln. It's the best place in the world, world's most advanced basketball training facility. Make sure you check out Shoot360 Lincoln when you get a chance. All right, we'll catch you next time on the Nick Bob Podcast.
A Herd at Sports Network production.